suggested agenda, I know that we want to get a report on the diversity committee. We want to get a report on the national voters meeting here, and want to discuss that probably at the end, the last thing on the agenda. I think that Sheila will want to try to figure out where we're going to put her on the agenda for this, and she'll probably discuss the business.
And we need
program council.
We have
program
we have two issues. Are we going to wait for Ray to come, or are we just going to ask
his
representative on the diversity language?
Well, why don't we do something, and then when he comes, we can do diversity language.
And he can add to it.
And then why don't we do other things and
let me
put
give
the
you the suggested
in.
Agenda.
Okay. All right.
That I have the program council and the lab listings represented on the program council, a diversity language committee report from the chairperson, and maybe Sheila can discuss some of that. And then the upcoming June interim Pacifica Board national meeting, which is taking place in New York this time in the signal area of WBAI, an open position in the WBAI Community Affairs Director's job, and others. That's the agenda. A proposed agenda. Now, if you want to add to that, you can add. Anyone wants to add?
I'll just give a little report on the outreach committee that we've been working on Friday nights.
Okay, that's a good idea. An outreach.
Okay. Could I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Maybe we could ask Lee to do his report. Then we could maybe talk about the program council. That's the order of anyway. And perhaps by that time Ray would be here, then we could do the diversity. If he isn't here, then maybe we could do Sheila just to give him extra time.
Well, what is it?
I'm just making a suggestion.
But that is the program. Okay.
Are you on the board?
I'm here for Asian Collective.
No. I'm just trying to.
I mean.
Yeah. You have any problem with that, Gail?
I just, you know, because Sheila and I were here at 6:30, and it's now 10 after 7, and we usually, you know, need to try to leave around 9. So I'm hoping that her pieces, whatever they are, can be done.
No, that's what I'm saying. We'll do it and put Ray at the end, if you don't mind. Because I think he's not, I think his position is third on the agenda. Is that right?
No, I had put
why don't we just get started?
The diversity language committee from the chairperson, and that's Ray. He was second.
Okay, so I'm just suggesting that maybe they could be second, and that'll give some additional time to get.
So why don't we start off? Is there any objections to this proposed agenda?
No.
Run through it, just one.
Okay, so why don't we start off with a discussion on the program council and the lab and the list of representatives on the program council.
Let's see, we haven't had a meeting, I don't think we had a meeting since the last time I spoke with you. I think we're going to have a meeting on the 11th because the fundraiser came in the meantime. So, to the best of my recollection, nothing was settled. But I think that that the issue is on the agenda for the next meeting to settle that.
I'm sorry, before you go any further, just let me mention, Andy's not here tonight, okay, our secretary, okay. I'm going to record it, and I'll see if I can make some notes from what we're doing. But if everybody keeps in mind, there's the microphone, and I want to hear what you got to say. So if everybody talks like towards it, I'd appreciate it. All right?
Is that okay?
And then I'll sort of go over it after.
Ali is taking the notes, and he wants to record it, apply it to be accurate. But our secretary will not be here today, and neither will our chairperson. Let me introduce myself. My name is Marion Bornstein. I'm the chairperson, vice chairperson of the board. Miguel Montanaro will not be here this evening, so I'm chairing the meeting. Our secretary, Andy, will not be here today. He's traveling. His job takes him around the country, so he will not be here. Okay, you continue.
I'm just saying that I don't really have anything to report because I'm not clear if the lab has clarified its position. And
well,
we haven't.
What we want to do.
And we haven't had. So, well, he said from the program committee. So that's what I'm saying. The program committee has not met. We will be hopefully meeting on the 11th. Our meeting that we were supposed to have came during the time of the fundraiser, so it was canceled. So it could be open.
Okay. I think the floor was open for further discussion on this second member from the board to that program council.
I missed the last meeting, but my understanding of what happened is that, you know, the lab had previously delegated two representatives to the program council. Rashida is the lab rep, and we decided the second one should be a listener rep, and we split that position between Sheila and Sylvia, two very active, credible listeners, also representing different communities. And, you know, we thought we were all set, and then an objection was raised that, in fact, these people don't quite qualify as listeners but fall into some other category because they are each part of collectives, which I think in Sylvia's case, you know, that there is a Spanish language program now on the air, which you know, kind of generated out of this collective, and Sheila is part of an East Asian collective, also seeking to increase some kind of East Asian programming, and therefore they didn't qualify as listeners anymore. So, you know, I mean, I really question that line of reasoning, and, you know, it's not clear to me why the lab can't delegate the people they want to delegate to sit on the program council.
Okay. The best informed information that I have is that the program council is supposed to consist of so many members from the station as reps, not as participants in the meeting, but as representatives from two or three categories. One is basically paid and the other is unpaid. And within that is the configuration of producer, programmer, or someone who consistently works to help make that program happen. The technicality, as I understand it, around Sylvia is that at the time when Sylvia was first suggested, there was no collective. Neither was Sheila a part of the Asian collective. However, now there is. In addition to which, I don't know if it was called the Latino collective, but that's what I'm going to call it, was a pilot program, which meant that it was slotted for X amount of time. And whether or not it will be continued, I think has to do with the evaluation and a lot of other things that are subject to the program director. The Asian collective, from what I understand, Sheila has actually not been on air, but has maybe done some work with helping to organize her. But at the time that her name was suggested, she was not a part of it. So it's not so much that they don't want them on it, it's trying to make a clear delineation as to which category they actually fit in. And so they were very concerned that the wrong message might get out, that they were trying to keep them from participating in the program council. They can participate as anybody because it's a fairly open meeting. But what they were saying was, since they already have a paid reps and unpaid reps, that there could, that their category was sort of fuzzing up the thing. That's what I understand.
I mean, what's the fuzz? They're certainly unpaid.
No.
I mean, they're not producers. I mean, they, you know, they don't, they're not in front of microphones.
I don't know how else, I don't know how else to answer that.
Okay, next Anthony and then Anne.
Yeah. I agree that issues and questions similar to, and in some cases exactly like Rashida said, were raised by some people. What happened, just to clarify, at the last meeting, was that when the issue came up, we had been into this lab meeting for some time. It was going back and forth, and so there was no resolution. And it was something that we said we would have to take up. We didn't have an opportunity for a thorough discussion. What we did, however, do was have an opportunity to hear a number of non-lab members as well as some lab members make comments. Mm-hmm. My position is that the lab, as the listener representation entity, was during this interim period given the responsibility of participating in the program council or on the program council, and they were given two seats. We lobbied for three seats, one of which would be a non-lab listener. That went on for several meetings, and I'm just bringing this back to help visitors and, mm-hmm. and some of us recall. We lobbied for that. The program council, still somewhat conservative and cautious, made up completely of staff other than the lab rep that we had selected, who is Rashida, was really hesitant and was not really clear what to, they weren't clear what to expect from listeners, etc. And they didn't, in my opinion, really get it. And now perhaps we don't either, but I think we do. What we said was that there should be at least one non-lab listener, because the lab had not been an elected lab, and we felt that in the spirit of the coming elections, it would be useful to have some process of selection that would broaden, you know, and there were so many good candidates. Plus, there was a ton of work, and we were all, mm-hmm. you know, carrying, you know, our load. We were working in the GM search committee, and numerous other kinds of efforts. Okay, but they never really were sure. They didn't vote on it, so it was tabled. When we reintroduced this issue, some of the same people who raised questions then on the program council raised questions. So we've never reached a resolution. I believe that the two candidates that we proposed, Sylvia and Sheila, to work alternatively in that mm-hmm. second seat were strong candidates, and that the fact that they both, you know, had been so involved that they were working on collectives that were either discussing programming or, and trying to do programming, did raise legitimate questions. But after a lot of thought about it and trying to get a sense of what actually goes on in the program council, I don't really see where there's conflict of interest, especially as representatives during this interim period. And it seemed like they had a lot more to contribute than they had to really retard the progress. So I felt that it was not going to be a unanimously supported thing by the program council individual members, but we really had the authority to identify those representatives that we felt. And the process that we had used was interesting in that Miguel initially had suggested Sheila, and that was based on his experience doing outreach and talking to a number of people. But it had been kind of a narrow process. So, you know, we really looked at the experience of a lot of lab members in who had been involved in work in their communities. We had always felt that an upstate or non-New York City representative would not be a bad idea. There was a different perspective that would be useful. So Jersey and Westchester and Long Island were considered. Also, we felt that Asian and Latino representation was very slim on the program council. And if we could have Asian and Latino representation that were people who really provided, you know, leadership, had some history of being involved, had some information, and had ties within their communities and within the Pacifica community. It was just too many overwhelming positives to spend too much time, you know, beating a dead horse for the period of months between now and whenever there's a new set of selections and, you know, as well as the elections taking place. So I came today prepared to state that while there are legitimate questions, I feel that the people that we have identified were more than worthy, and we were within our responsibility and authority to be able to make those kind of determinations. And that the more time we held back not being, you know, I can't even call it decisive at this late date, but not making a selection, we were really not doing anything constructive, but in fact we were retarding the process. If there turned out to be conflicts of interest that would emerge, first of all, I think that the integrity of both of the people is such that they would certainly recognize that. However, we would leave that still open to the entire program council to examine. But I think that that's a straw horse and a non-issue. So to that extent, after the discussion, I'm prepared to make a motion that we actually come up with a formula.
Go ahead. You're prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I said after the discussion.
Oh, okay.
Because there are a number of people.
Adding to the history, and I'm on the board for 6 years. There you go. We were initially told that we, the board, had no involvement with programming. And then that was totally switched around and said that was our only responsibility, that we were not a governing board, but we had some responsibility, which, as liaisons between listeners and staff and everyone else participating. But essentially, we are all listeners, we are all members and supporters, and that's why we're here. I see people who belong to collectives and coalitions as activists. To me, these are people who are committed and hardworking, and I complimented the board in their selection of the two women who were ultimately chosen because they embodied all of what we're all about. And so I would, well, see what the motion is, but I'm sure that we're going to be hopefully supportive.
Are there any more discussions on this issue? No more discussion. Anthony, you want to make your resolution?
Yes. I move that the local advisory board, WBAI, vote for both Sylvia Arana and Sheila Hamanaka to share the remaining seat that the lab has on the program council.
I second.
Keep it simple.
All in favor? Let's say it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
We already
know. Eight? Is that eight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's 8. Anyone voting against? Abstaining? 1 abstention. Okay.
If I may, just since there was a rather derisive comment made, and while I'm not going to address it directly, I just want to punctuate saying that I cannot imagine two people
who has played a better role in bringing cogent issues to this board, to the station, to the people who they have interacted with in their community. And it is with absolute confidence and pleasure that Sylvia and Sheila are candidates for such an important position and have so much to offer our station. So I'm thrilled that we have been able to nominate and elect two such incredibly deep, important sisters to the struggle for progressive media.
Right. There was a quick question. Again, we really have to keep people abreast of what's happening. At an earlier meeting, the question of how did they identify themselves on the, as far as this program council issue, were they producers or listeners? And they had identified themselves as members of a collective, but they were identifying themselves as listeners. And that was the function that they were going to have. So I just wanted to clarify that if that question was unclear. I don't want to speak with you right here in the room for you, but basically that question had been passed to me as a question.
Certainly not producer.
So,
well, I mean, I laid out the position of the program council as best I could.
Mm-hmm.
That was their objection, and they stressed that the objection had nothing to do with the merits of the individual. At least that was the sense that I got. But rather that it was a procedural thing, and I think that the program council has not really worked that out for themselves. That has nothing to do, I think.
I'm not raising this as far as program council. I mean, just in terms of clarification, that what we did was elected two people to function as listener representatives on the council.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that we have exhausted that issue, and I hope we put it in place. Next, Sheila.
Sheila is the
representative that has just been confirmed by this board. Sheila.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just wanted to mention that I'm also on the Diversity Language Committee, and one of the things we have been discussing for months and months in Pacifica is the issue of diversity and what does it mean to bring diverse communities into the station. And while I am a listener, I'm not a producer. I have none of the I have no health insurance, no health insurance, no pay in the station, no program. I want to say that I don't believe there's necessarily a contradiction between her and the so-called producer. That part of the problem with Pacifica, as people know, is that it doesn't reach certain communities. And why doesn't it reach those communities? Because those communities do not have a voice on the air. So I don't think that we should try and set up an artificial fence between the community and the person who's on behind the microphone, because ideally they are one and the same. So I think that these collectives are far from being seen as just little attempts by people to grab territory, also known as time, on the air. They're really one of the most effective ways that the station can reach out to communities and get them involved in the station.
All right. We finished that?
Yeah.
Okay. Next on the agenda, the individual is just Ray LaFarge has just come in. He is chairman of the Interim Board Diversity Committee, and we would like him to kind of bring us up to date on the Diversity Committee and its language. Ray?
I'm sorry.
For you to catch your breath. Maybe
yes.
You take a deep breath.
I missed the question.
No, it's not a question.
Oh.
You bring us up to date on the diversity
committee. Okay. I know you just began.
Well, it's been a difficult project on many levels. The task at hand was, momentous, and there was a lot of contending issues among the people working on it. We are, as you know, the services of Jonathan Lubell, who had agreed to review the work of the committee and then submit it to two attorneys who had accepted to work with us, and they were Ted Shaw of the NACP and Lenny Grenier. Communication with Ted Shaw has been difficult, I'm not too sure why. With Grenier, we've been communicating. Recently, the committee voted, and I can say I oppose that. Mimi, who's also on the committee, I believe, opposed it, to change the mandate of the order in which things would be done. Meaning, instead of doing the work, sending it to send it to our attorney, who's Lubell, who's doing this by the way for cost only, and have him review it and come up with new language, and that it was deemed to be legal. And you know, are clearly presented, and the other attorneys would all give their opinion as to, you know, on that report as to whether it is indeed legal and so on. The committee clearly partially, I should say that really, because of the contention, there's a suspicion that somehow, I guess, the attorney would not be doing the work properly, going as far as not presenting the other attorneys with the proper material and so on. So because of that, the committee voted, and as I said, I opposed that, to have all the material sent to all the lawyers. I must say that the previous meeting had been preceded by a similar vote, and so Mimi had sent the material to Lubell, and the way the vote had gone is that they didn't say, well, you know, we don't trust Mimi and we don't trust Lubell, but they said, well, we want to see what was sent to the lawyer. We want what was sent to the lawyer sent to us, to everybody also. So within the same vein, they voted to have the all the reports, you know, everything that was sent to Lubell, sent to everybody.
Everybody.
The other two lawyers. Uh-huh. And so far, the answer from Guinea has been that there's been a misunderstanding, and she did not agree to review hundreds of pages. By the way, she has said that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm saying 100 pages because that's the language she had used. She said, I hope it's not 100 pages because I don't have time for that. So she said that she did not agree to do, basically, she did not agree to do Lubell's work. She had agreed to review Lubell's work, which is different. Right. In it, she said that she, in a message, she said that she was willing to have specific points and ideas that we would, you know, highlight to her and so on. So I guess the committee would have to decide the best way to do that to her. At this point, I spoke to Jonathan Lubell today. He's in the process of sending his report to the lawyers also.
You've done.
But he's also in the process of sending it to the lawyers.
It's been done.
Okay. So they have it. So now I spoke to Leslie Kagan also, who is, you know, the chair of the Pacifica National Board, Interim Pacifica National Board. She feels that at this point we have enough time to use this material will be useful for the National Board meeting. So therefore, it is a position. She's going to ask the National Board to keep the date of the 20th to the 22nd for the next board meeting in New York City. So that doesn't leave us too much time. So at this point, of course, we have to conserve, but I'm inclined to say that maybe Friday would be a good day to have that committee meet and review the material.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to raise some questions and concerns. There is an ideological pitched battle on the Diversity Language Committee, which I can unequivocally say has everything to do with whether or not you support affirmative action or not. The way it is posited, which is dangerous and disingenuous and convenient for white supremacy, has always been the alleged jeopardy to the organization if it takes an inclusive stance, which is very easy for people to do when they're balancing this entity, this legal fiction, Pacifica, against the reality of people's rights, people who are different than themselves. After all, it is not white, middle class people who are excluded from the network. So it is very easy for them to take these pompous
preposterous and equivocating stance on inclusion. Be very clear, there is a complete polarity. And what is worse is while there is a polarity, there is nothing short of a coup that is taking place, which concerns me greatly. While the process has been arduous and unpleasant, there has been a process. Many of the positions that particularly people such as Ray and Sheila and myself, Fahima, to some degree, Marion Barry, A.C. Byrd, etc., took, was really polarized at this point. The reality is that the process was engaged and completed. Now, what is going on is an effort to usurp the process in its entirety. Yes, it is true that Carol Spooner put out venomous and offensive material that also reveals confidences about employees of the station, which she had no right to do, for the sole purpose of trying to denigrate and remove Jonathan Lobel from the process. The reason being that Jonathan Lobel, she believes, has an unequivocal predisposition to support affirmative action. I can certainly say, as somebody who I've known for years, he has indeed a political disposition, but he is also acting as an attorney and has, with all that that means, all the ethical considerations, objectivity, sensitivity that the task requires as attorney offering consideration. Carol's denigration is unseemly and outrageous. It wound up to the point where Leslie Kagan called Jonathan and said that she believed there had been information about a conflict of interest and therefore he should recuse himself, whereupon Jonathan said that he did not believe that there was such a case, but what he would do, as the principled and thoughtful and astute attorney that he is and political person, he would address a letter to the Pacifica board laying out the actual and accurate facts, not the facts that had been put out by Carol Spooner on the alliance list, which were never CC'd to or intended to find their way to Jonathan, despite the fact that they spoke about him and were intended to disenfranchise him from the process. In any event, Jonathan did write a letter to the board at Leslie's request so that the board could make a determination if they felt that his assisting two employees who had not been given their back pay because of disparate treatment, which directly dovetails with affirmative action.
Exactly.
Not in litigation, but in a mediation process. Thus far, he posited to the board if they believed that this wasn't, he laid out in astute terms, cogent terms, why it wasn't a conflict of interest and why he should continue with his research and responsibilities, which he has done. The board has not seen fit, despite the fact that they asked for the letter, called him up, created no small degree of consternation, despite the fact that he has been mercilessly slandered, so have many of the rest of us, but the heck with that for the moment. In any event, his career, his competency, his sincerity, all of that has been questioned.
Right.
Not even with the integrity of CCing anything to him, but of course going behind somebody's back to stifle them. Because it's not about Jonathan.
Certainly.
It's about stifling somebody who may be empathetic to the issue of affirmative action. As is Ronnie, as is Ted Shaw, whom I arranged to be on a telephone conference with the Pacifica National Board and who made it unequivocally clear that the law of the land is affirmative action. Okay. We've been on 15-hour phone conversation, literally from 9:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night. It's been a hell of a process. But what they're trying to do now is discredit, remove Jonathan from the process, create innuendo that people have been dishonest about the information, the process, consult with board chairs to get them to completely ignore the process and come up with other proposals that have never been vetted or deliberated on or dialogued about, all to the end of a conclusion being that the committee, the diversity language committee, such as it is, and it's not what I would have wanted it to be in terms of its conclusions, but it did some work. There were two essential proposals, one of which has language that equivocates, which to me is the major problem, the other one which has a plan. One says we will use best efforts, which to me as both a lawyer and a political person is unacceptable, but that did predominate in a vote. But that's not good enough. That's not good enough. So what they're attempting to do now, literally, is get Leslie to make a determination that the committee is dysfunctional, cannot come up with any reasoned conclusion, that Jonathan is hopelessly mired in conflict, and that either the chairs totally ignore the process and just propose whatever it is, possibly the KPFA model, or that it just go back in toto to the Pacifica National Board without any consideration of the work that has been done or the proposals that are there. So there is a deliberate effort to sabotage, and there's nothing less than a coup. There are meetings that are put together where some of us are excluded, where our chair is not there. There are efforts to remove Ray as chair and insert Teresa Allen in what are illegitimate meetings that have taken place without Sheila, without myself, without Ray. I just think that people have to be aware that when we meet in New York,
they coming here to New York.
If you believe in, because ultimately now it's a political struggle. Jonathan has rendered his determination. The task that they would like Lonnie to have is one that is impossible, because what the real issue now is, these aren't questions of law any longer.
No.
They're questions of political nature. Affirmative action's legal. The issues are political. They're political. The question becomes what our board is willing to do and how we are willing to mobilize to insist on and assure in our venue in New York that there is an affirmative action plan in effect incorporated in the bylaws. And first and foremost, now I believe we should put out a statement that affirms the work of the diversity committee. I don't agree with the conclusion of that committee, but to me it would be tragic if we capitulated or just allowed this effort to rest any affirmative action language and intent away from this committee, disrupt it, disband it, and bring it back to the IPBN to make their ultimate determination in complete abrogation of the process that they had agreed to, solely for the reason that there are a hard and hardened group of people who may profess to be interested in affirmative action. They do not live it. They are not willing to incorporate a firm and conclusive plan, and that's where it's at, and you need to know there is a real pitched battle. And I must admit, just to give you an example, if you haven't listened to the language, one comment would be, Teresa Allen, for example, in an effort to castigate me as I ardently fight for affirmative action, saying, I guess you'd be satisfied if we had a handicapped streetwalker from Fiji. Would that kind of satisfy you?
She did say that.
Now,
on the net,
Sheila, after my castigating backward racist statement, and you can pick the levels of offensiveness and the communities that it should offend. And Sheila then adds, and of course, if there were Asian people who were really sitting around in any critical mass, which was a statement ever been made. And Teresa says, well, I only did it. It wasn't my statement. Somebody else made it. I just did it to show how ludicrous these arguments are. But she owned it. She possessed it. She remembered it. And she recited it.
Well,
a brilliant letter was written, which never should have had to be written, by Sheila, about the plight and the misery of sisters of Asian descent in various venues and what their lives would like. What then happened is, how dare you guilt trip and critique Ms. Allen? We should command and demand an apology from people who had raised that they were offended and thought the statement was offensive. This is the level we're operating on. It is guttural, it is vicious, and it reeks of supremacist thought. That's what our struggle is about. And believe me, the hand of Ms. Spooner to try to dismantle everything looms large, to the point of trying to assure that Mr. LaBelle will not get paid for his work, that his career and his essence are humiliated and discredited, despite the fact he's been totally principled and committed and loved this network and given up himself for decades. So I really think that people need to know that we are in deep trouble. The political struggle must ensue, and we have to fight like hell for the inclusion of people who have been disenfranchised.
Okay.
I just want to add something quickly.
Ray, go ahead.
I just want to add, I mean, I agree with what Mimi said. Now, I would add that the fact, Leslie, I believe, had called Lubel on her own name. Now, clearly there's a fine line between what she does.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever she interprets as an individual, she can immediately, she choose to turn into an official action, yeah, and ask the board to do. But I interpreted the fact for her not to have done anything after speaking to Jonathan and receiving the letter as at least for the moment feeling that whatever was presented as enough reason to remove him, at least for her, she didn't feel that way at that moment. You know, that's why she didn't, that's, you know, so in a way, I looked at this, although it wasn't done in the proper fashion, I looked at it as a positive factor because she didn't feel she would act upon Carol's request. The Carol's request was that the board vote immediately to ask the committee not to have anything to do with Jonathan any longer. And that wasn't done. So to that extent, I... Now, in terms of the question that Mimi raised about me being replaced, I understand that there have been discussions, and some of it, unfortunately, I assisted in because I've had problems with my computer and personal problems. But ever anything that rose to the level where you have to change, replace the person. Actually, what surprised me, I'm assuming that the only person they could find was Teresa, because I guess you wanted somebody who would fit within the purview of the committee, meaning the unit person of color, a woman, one of the excluded group. The other board members differed, Tiggy would not fit there. However, what's funny is that there were two individuals who voted against the creation of that very committee on the national board, and one of them was Teresa. She voted against having that committee being created. So in a way, you are asking the very person who said this committee should not exist to chair the committee. So that would have been a very funny. And I intend to raise that in the next meeting we have.
Okay. That's it. Rashida and Carolyn.
Rashida, Carolyn, Montu, and this gentleman.
Carrie.
I had said some time back that that I'm very distressed at the level. You can turn around so you can talk me properly that time and not leave out anything. Thank you. I had said before that I was very distressed at not only the level, I mean the shrill, but the content and the context of the critique that has gone on for a very long time. Maybe it always was here, but it was only since I've been on the lab that I've witnessed this. Before, I would hear it from the other side of the radio. And when I heard what Mimi just said, it's very eloquent. It continues to raise sadness in me. I have really believed in the one bright spot I thought in amongst human beings. I really believed that the quote progressives, or it may be the socialists, although I don't know if we can say that in polite company anymore, it used to be communists. I really believe that people who are searching for language and for behavior that can make them honest and sincere and productive citizens in the world were the kinds of people that I associated with, progressive, etc. And I wanted to be a part of that. So I tried to read, if they mentioned the book, Karl Marx, made sure that I read Karl Marx. One time, if you recall, you had to work around with Paul Noir,
Fanon.
I ran out and I got Fanon. Then it was How Europe Underdeveloped Africa.
Yeah,
I got that. I read it so much. It was in paperback. Yeah. The book disassembled because the pace was so weak. Huh? But I didn't do that just to educate myself necessarily so I could say, ha ha ha, I've read ha ha ha. You know, it wasn't that. It was because I felt these people really were struggling and had some validity, and I wanted to be able to be in their presence, that I wanted to be able to say, I too am striving to be this kind of productive international citizen. And we have a thing called Pacifica. And Pacifica, as far as I know, has a mission. And that mission is being, just like United States Constitution, eviscerated right before our eyes by the very people who are, by their position, supposed to be defending and protecting it. I don't see how you defend and protect when you cannot say that you would be willing to find a way to put somebody who has been historically underrepresented. I just don't understand how someone can come into the Pacifica mix with that kind of attitude. And what I really can't understand is how, when this is brought to the attention of people, the person who raises it becomes the issue of critique, becomes the target of critique. And this happens so often. And what it does is it becomes a political tool to drive a wedge on the one hand, but also to push that person away. And I admit, I've been at points where it was working. The arguments, the pushing was working, and I was ready to back off and say, that's it. I can't work with these people.
I'm sorry.
I'm really concerned that maybe one of the things, Ray, I don't know if you want to do this or how the lab feels, But I think that there should be some kind of statement. We had this issue with Jonathan LaBelle before, where he was not treated very nicely. And this is somebody we shouldn't be treating this way. I mean, I don't understand how we're treating this man this way. So I would like to suggest maybe there could be somebody, other than Mimi, somebody that would say to him, on behalf of some of us, that we really do appreciate the history of his work and the content of his work and what we feel is the intent of his work. And we do appreciate the diversity language committee, even if we don't agree with all that they said. I don't know if we can do that. That's just a suggestion. Because I think at some point you can't constantly critique and downgrade people. At some point you have got to give them some kind of recognition and some kind of appreciation.
Well, I would just say that I've done that repeatedly, personally. I've done it this afternoon, and maybe the lab could take a
I think the lab has to take
and
a stand.
And okay. When we have the next meeting of the committee, I'll ask the committee to do so.
Okay.
Carolyn?
Yeah, a couple of things. I have a couple of questions about the process, but before that, in the spirit of what Rashida said, I would really like to object in a formal way to Mimi's castigation.
Would you speak up so we
can... I would like to object in a formal way to Mimi's castigation of Carol Spooner and her motives. I have to say, I think it's unfortunate that someone who has, in fact, led the fight to save this network is looked at in such harsh terms. And I'd like us to maybe we could continue the discussion without meanness towards each other in verbal sense. But I have questions for Ray about the process. I'm a little confused. I understood the process to be as it was described, and that was that the documents would go to three attorneys. First it was to LaBelle, and then it was to three. Did all three attorneys get all the documents, number one.
Yes.
Did they get them initially? Then LaBelle, then Lanigier, evidently,
and maybe I can answer that quickly. They did not get it initially, because indeed the committee had voted to send the documents to LaBelle first, let him do his work, and then present the result of his work to the lawyers and to the committee, and the lawyers would opine. However, the committee voted to change that and have the material sent to all the different attorneys separately.
Right.
So therefore, at that point, we from LaBelle. No, actually, they said that we should send the material to LaBelle. That was the second time we were sending material. Okay. And then he should send them to the lawyers immediately. So I informed him of that. Then that's how he proceeded.
And he sent all materials to both Shaw and Grenier.
Yes. Actually, as a matter of fact, the material that was sent, that's what Lanier commented upon, that she had not agreed to do that kind of work.
Okay. And my last point is that I think it's unfortunate that LaBelle has been set up, in a sense, in a tenable position. It is a conflict of interest for him to represent employees in any process, whether it's a mediation or a court case or whatever, on both sides of the fence. And I'm sorry that we...
In other words, you think it is. Why don't you just say what you think rather than making unequivocal statements? I don't know that you got your law degree, etc. So why don't you at least say, I think, since you haven't seen his letters, don't know the facts, don't know anything, because you're confidential.
Are you finished, Matt?
I'm not even half finished with the metaphysicians, people like you, Pat Gallo.
Okay, Mimi.
Next. No, it isn't too bad.
Okay,
because
Mimi,
we will not
Mimi?
Go quietly into that.
Okay,
protest.
Mimi, you had your point. I heard it.
Thank you. Could you identify yourself?
I guess the beat goes on.
Could you identify yourself?
Montu, your name.
My name, Montu Masemela,
attorney.
Now, I think there was a number of points that were made with respect to the nature of the struggle being political versus legal. And, you know, I dare say that most of us thought it was always political and that the legal part of it was only a diversion in the first instance. Okay? To maintain that position that, in fact, the legal element of this debate was, in fact, a diversion from the movement toward affirmative action, diversity, and inclusion, that we were moving toward in the direction of 14 to 16 months. And that the attack on Rubel, Nimi, et al. From various forces is also another diversion. Okay? That in fact, even the affirmative action issue is a diversion. Okay? Because I think that fundamentally what this is about is a power struggle about who controls Pacific.
And there you go.
Okay? And that draining people's energies all into a struggle around what in fact should be a given within Pacifica is a strategy to, in effect, divert people from what is ultimately going on, and I agree with Mimi 100% with respect to a coup. It's just that I don't think the coup is simply with respect to the diversity issue for Pacifica entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that if we look at issues such as autonomy, and when we were talking about the question of autonomy, and it also can be described in this case as uniformity, which was a vote that was taken by the Interim Pacifica National Board back in the Houston IPMB meeting, which essentially created a scenario where the five radio stations would be, in fact, forced to agree to a uniform approach, specifically in this particular instance, to the elections for local station boards that would allow people to believe, who at that time believed that they had three radio stations out of the five to consolidate their power. But ultimately, that was not the case, and that the issue of how many people around Pacifica had questions with respect to inclusion and diversity was not simply a New York affair, but in fact was a national reality that was manifested in WPFW, KPFT, KPFK, oh yeah, KPFA, okay? And that in fact, this national reality that was brought home at the last lab meeting, IPMB meeting in LA, when in fact it was not the forces of inclusion and diversity, the Unity Caucus, et cetera, who were driving the discussion on affirmative action in the LAIPMD meeting. But lo and behold, it was community forces from LA and from Northern California, Chicanos, African Americans, and Asians who came to the LAIPMD meeting and raised up substantial arguments around the question of affirmative action, inclusion, and diversity, which they had in some cases for 30 years, as in the case of the group that came from Northern California. And it was that struggle that emerged, and it came to its most powerful manifestation in the LAIPMD meeting, which brought about the creation of the National Diversity Commission. Committee, whatever. That was the motion that brought about the creation of this committee, and that in fact represented the basis for the spirit and mandate that this committee was told to get together, some 15 members, and come to reach some conclusion, closure, on affirmative action in the diversity language that would be included in the bylaws and ratified. And in the process of carrying out that national mandate, what we saw again and again, and I'm sorry, yeah, it was Carol Spooner who's leading the charge. Just call it what it is, all right, in terms of attempting to renege on the mandate that came from the IPMB and renege on the process. And to renege on the process of building unity around the question of affirmative action in Pacifica. Okay? And quite frankly, I'm a member of the Unity Caucus, all right? And what's been agreed upon by the IPMB, the Diversity Committee, is far from what the Unity Caucus would have proposed and how we see the question of diversity. Okay, so notwithstanding the insane effort to demonize the Unity Caucus and people who supported affirmative action in Pacifica, and this demonization, make no mistake about it, okay, has its foundation and root in racism and white supremacy, and there's a tactic that's used by, you know, the enemies of people of color all over the world. That's used by the White House, the Pentagon, the military, Homeland Security,
all
the Patriot
time.
Act,
all the
and attacks every oppressed people on this planet. Is being used in Pacifica by a narrow group of people, okay, who believe that they have more power, okay, and believe that they wield more power than they really do well. Because demonization ultimately also means that they fear the opposition tremendously. That they're in fact terrorized of the opposition, the forces who support affirmative action and diversity. For those of us who listen to the FCC hearings that were broadcast live by Pacifica, by WBI, by Democracy Now!, the word diversity must have been used 100 times. The word diversity was used by the right in terms of the three commissioners, and used by the by those commissioners who support diversity as well, as much as the right used it in the FCC. Okay? So what we see is that the issue that we're struggling around here, the question of diversity and inclusion, is regarded as a foregone conclusion and given. But yet somehow in Pacifica, has reached a point where affirmative action is an ugly word.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I'm trying to figure that one out. What kind of world is that? Are we talking about here? Yeah, I'm going to end. A couple of days ago, we had a meeting with a very good organization that does a diversity anti-racism training around the country called the People's Institute. They met with Don Rojas, and it was a very good discussion. Clearly, they have tremendous expertise in the both private sector and the sectors of public interest, public sectors in terms of giving these trainings. They give them the corporate sectors as well. And so they have offered to do an anti-racist training for us here in New York during the IPMB meeting, if we would like to request it. And I think it would be a very good idea to have these people who are expert in training on anti-racism, and for us to really endorse it and hopefully try to mobilize people to come to the People's Institute, if we do agree to try to have it during the IPMB meeting at some time. And I guess we'd have to figure out how we would like to do that. But that's a suggestion and a proposal that I'm making for the board, for WBI Lab to consider this evening. And again, I would just like to reemphasize that there is a coup underfoot, and that coup is toward the direction of centralization versus decentralization. It's an anti-autonomy. It's toward fiscal and political micromanagement that's already in process of being implemented.
Sounds very public.
Already in process of being implemented. All right, and that when we look at who's really behind the scenes, you know, making these decisions, how does the national office reach conclusions and policies that effectively represent the implementation of things that was the very heart of why we fought, you know, the corporate hijackers 2.5 years ago. Now, how are those things and why are those things being implemented right now as we speak? All right, thank you. I'm sorry about taking so long.
Yes.